You are listening to CKMS 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. Today is November 10th, 2023, and I am MP Holmes. Delegates representing a Better Tent City went to the Region of Waterloo Council on Wednesday, November 7th, asking for urgent help. The group were appealing a decision by the Region of Waterloo Housing Department that determined a Better Tent City did not fit the criteria for region funding. The group have not yet received an explanation as to why they did not meet the criteria, but department officials have agreed to meet with the members to explain later this month. Without additional and prompt financial support, the group warned the project will not be able to continue long into the future. The group had asked for $236,000 under a regional housing provider funding scheme. This money would have provided for dedicated staff to actively support residents to further stabilize their lives and obtain permanent housing. Jeff Wilmer from A Better Tent City introduced the group's presentation.
Better Tent City was built primarily by community donations and volunteer labor, and it has been relying primarily on volunteers to operate, but we're realizing that's not sustainable. We have applied as a housing service provider under the program that the region set up recently, but we have been advised that we don't meet enough of the criteria. So I'm sure you don't want to see our project fail any more than we do, and we are determined to keep it going, but we do need your support.
Laura Hamilton of the group Faith and the Common Good described how the group began as a response to unsafe living conditions during the pandemic and how it transitioned from an illegal, unsanctioned encampment to a registered charity with community partners and over 100 volunteers. Despite these achievements, another representative of the group, Marion Thompson Howell, noted how demand is increasing.
1 year ago today, we had approximately 65 people who came around on a regular basis looking for support. As of Thursday of last week, we had 96, and that number grows daily. There are 96 people who are invisible to you, but if in fact we cannot continue, they will no longer be invisible.
When Chair Karen Redman asked about volunteers, Hamilton described their typical tasks and the increasing demands placed on these volunteers.
On any given day, there are probably 6 to 8 volunteers engaged in doing work for with a Better Tent City. People require trust relationships to move forward. So the folks that we've managed to get into addictions counseling, we get volunteers to drive them to rehab in Windsor because they need to be outside of this community and support them when they're there. And for the folks that get into rehab here, it's volunteers who support them to get into the programs and who support them while they're in rehab and take their calls in the middle of the night. It's all volunteers, and we really feel that we need dedicated staff to be able to do this work, to be able to develop those trust relationships with residents, to be able to move them forward for life stabilization. The other workers do their best, but they come in for one afternoon a week, or they support people as best they can, but the workload is just too much. We're not anybody's priority, to put it simply.
Hamilton also described how much of the success of A Better Tent City comes down to one woman, Nadine Green, and why that is problematic.
Nadine Green is a saint, I'm telling you. She's 7 days a week. She works every night, all night, and we can't continue to expect her to do that. We need other staff. Mm-hmm. And also, she cannot, because she's up all night, it's the connecting people to resources during the day, so then we have to have, you know, she'll text someone and say, there's a person here who's about to have a baby, and keep an eye on her, and, you know, we do the best we can, but we, 4 people, typically a shelter, I don't know about Herbs Road, but I know other shelters would have 35 plus staff, and we managed with one for the first 2 years, and now we are up to 4, which is spectacular. But again, that's cobbling together grants that we may or may not get. And so what we want is the stability to know that we can continue to operate.
Councillor Barry Verbanovich asked, beyond finances, what the main challenges for the group are and what supports are needed to confront these challenges.
You know, it boils down to we call it radical love. I'll just put that out there. People need to feel that they have value, and when they come to us, they don't feel that way. And the difference it makes having relationships, regular relationships in the kitchen with volunteers outside, doing projects together, right? Trimming branches, building something, making a meal. They're part of the community and they feel they have value. And that really is the difference in our model. We're not just housing people, we're engaging them in the community. And once people feel that they are worth it, then they can start thinking about their lives differently.
Councillors Rob Dutchman and Chantal Hunick tried to understand why a Better Tent City didn't meet the region's criteria, while Councillor Colleen James asked how the group is funded, if there's any government support, and more about that request for additional staff. Father Collins explained their revenue streams, their financial shortfall, and the need for staff.
The money that we take in is between $20,000 and $22,000 a month from residents, and we're currently running a shortfall of anywhere between $12,000 to $15,000 a month with all of the food costs, repairs, utilities, garbage removal, all kinds of things. So that's what we're fundraising for on a regular basis. If we want to add more staff onto that, that's where we believe that you could come in and help us with that. But right now, we just don't have the funds to increase the staff. And we're already running a shortfall, which we raised approximately $150,000 from private donors, aside from our regular costs.
The councillors were quick to note the excellent work A Better Tent City is doing, but, and while they understood why the group had made the request, some councillors were still unsure of how the group operates and their strategy to help people find homes and re-engage with the community. When Councillor Craig asked how much turnover or how many people move on to permanent housing, the delegates all reiterated their approach and that they don't have dedicated staff to help people move on, and that is why they have come to council.
How many people on average a year move out of your encampment to supportive housing or to other housing?
It is not so much a number per year. We have had approximately six people who have, over the time that we've been here, who have moved out. We have been working, I mean, part of the difficulty is we don't have staff who can, on a continuous basis, help connect them. So we do that as volunteers, but we've had approximately six to date.
And that is the request that we're asking for, to have staff to be able to connect people to resources. Right now, the person who coordinates meals on site also makes sure that when someone's having a baby, they get to the hospital and that, you know, they get into Marillac when they need to get into Marillac, and connects people to other housing. But it's done in addition to all of the other work that we have to feed people and keep the place going.
We first take in people that are extremely unstable. And first, they need to be stable. So they need to understand that that's their home unconditionally. And then once that stability is reached, however long it takes, then they usually want something more. We try and provide that for them. There are others also who are reaching, I would say, end-of-life issues. And it becomes a form of hospice when nobody else will take them. Because of their needs and the demands they place on people, and sometimes the safety risk that they are to others. So we also take those people in which case this may be their last stop.
Councillor Jan Liggett returned to the turnover number and expressed concern over what seemed like a low performance indicator. She asked the group to clarify.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Councillor Craig asked a question about how many people are transitioned out, and one of the performance indicators is how you help people find and maintain housing, and I believe I heard six. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is that six per month?
No.
Per year, since the beginning of startup? It doesn't, something's off with that.
It is six since we started. Having said that, the most recent person who moved out I think 2 weeks ago, he had been on the waiting list for 10 years. So, you know, the number of people we're able to move on is also dependent on the number of places available for them to move into. We have many, many people. Chair Redmond's question about the services, whether it be through OW, or sorry, through the region, through the other housing services. We have many, many, many people we've been able to get on the waiting list. I have one 57-year-old woman who was very excited about a month ago. She got on the list. She's been told it will be a minimum of 6 years. So our ability to move people on is also dependent on other places for them to land.
So that's the waiting list, but my question has to do with your work to find other places for people to go to transition them out of here. It's one of the criteria is to help people find housing. So if you're only, you've only done six in what, 3 years? How are you going to build on that so that you are moving, you know, your turnover is much quicker than that or better than that?
I think it's important, too, to differentiate between people who are residents and the 51 people who pay to be there. We need support to help move the people who show up who have no place to be into shelters as well. We can't just say, off you go, because they don't go. We really need to support them to get into shelters, and we've done that. I don't know the number, but we've done that with quite a number of visitors. But we've been able to do that, as I said, with volunteer time. We need to be resourced to do that.
No motions were put in place regarding a Better Tent City, and the next Community and Health Services meeting is on December 6th. For CKMS News and the Local Journalism Initiative, I am MP Holmes. Thanks for listening.